live from the Findlay Toyota Studios, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
What the hell is going on out there? Sorry. I meant to say in here. Pulling from one of my many poor impressions, Vince Lombardi. If he was upright and in studio right now, he'd be like, what in God's name is going on? You are a nightmare today.
Yes.
First of all, you obliterated yourself, which I didn't expect you to go that hard in the beginning of the show for your stupid first pitch.
Yes.
At the Aviators game. I mean, I didn't realize how upset you were.
Very competitive.
You're having trouble with your computer, which is just going on and off. And then you're fighting a neck injury. Let's bring in Miles Simmons. He's up on Cofield and Company. He's our football and everything insider. Another one of our voices of reason. He's very educated. He's very baseline. Miles is with us. Miles, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well, Steve. Wow. Very educated, very reasonable. I don't know if I was any of those things over the last two, let's call it week and a half as I was on vacation. But let's see. Let's see if I can lock back in.
We're going to talk about your vacation here in a second because we got to tie that to something in the middle of the show. But we've got an injury situation in studio. Greg Salerno is co-hosting today. Greg has had some sort of stinger in his neck or upper shoulder. He walked over to our producer, who's relatively new, but he's a big guy. He played football in college. He's like 6'5", 250. And he's like, Griffin, punch me in the neck. I'm like, I don't know how that's going to fix. How is that going to fix a neck? What's going on?
I'll be honest with you. It kind of helped. So he hit me to the left a little bit, and then I said head to the right. You know, there's a point in my neck. I don't know, Miles, if this ever happened to you. It's like a pinched nerve or something. Because it's not like a bone. It's like a nerve in there somewhere. Mm-hmm. And there's like a pressure point where if I press on it, it kind of relieves it a little. So I thought maybe if he punched me into that part, it would like jog it loose or do something to where I could get through a segment and not feel the pain as much. And I got to be honest. First of all, this guy hits really hard. Don't let him punch you.
He's a big guy.
Yeah, he's
a little younger than you, too. He's like, how hard do you want me to hit you? And you're like, a little harder. And he's like, okay, boom.
So, all right. I do have a fractured vertebrae now, but my neck, the other part feels fine.
Okay, well, see, I mean, I think that this makes sense in that you were probably going for like the quickest version of a massage, right?
Yeah,
exactly. You want that that pressure to then relieve the tension. What you really need is the Theragun.
Oh yeah,
that thing will really get you right. Because I do like if I sleep on my left side now, then my shoulder's going to be bleeped up for like the rest of the day. So what I do is I will sometimes go get a massage, but now I have a Theragun. And Theragun, if you're listening, I am more than happy to hide this product for you because it is wonderful. And that thing it'll help relieve the tension and the pressure. So maybe invest in one of those.
Great idea.
Earlier in the show, we were talking about luxurious robes, and I know, just stay with us. Stay with us, because Mark Cuban apparently Salerno had some idea about. We were talking about Cuban not really being around. He wasn't very visible around Dallas, and I don't know if that's good for the players. He's very generous, and then Salerno was like, "Yeah, you got on those robes," and I was like, "I don't know what you're talking about." But I was looking for people who are involved in our station, maybe as a guest, a staffer, like who would wear a robe? I don't think I'm kind of haughty toddy enough to wear a robe. I feel like, didn't you go to France? You wore a robe, didn't you, Miles? We got him!
No,
oh!
No, but one of my friends actually, so... Between my friend's wedding and the reception, we went back to the hotel and we were at the bar. And one of my friends in this situation, because somebody brought in empanadas, we were really hungry. And so they were down at the hotel bar because the hotel bar wasn't serving food. And one of my friends came down wearing a robe and some shorts. Okay. So, I may not be a robe person, but if we are the company that we keep, I suppose by the transitive property, I am.
Told you. We had someone on the staff. Well, because we named someone earlier who's not on the show. I knew there's other people, too. There's other robe people.
That's okay.
Trust me.
Yeah. I can't think of any, though.
I don't think you know everyone as well as you need to. You'll find out.
I recently saw a woman on Hinge who was like very, very much advocating robe wearing. Hmm. And I'm like, I've never seen somebody be so much of a robe enthusiast after we matched. And then like she said something about it, and then we never, you know, the match never went anywhere, which is, you know, what 95% mm-hmm. of matches do on Hinge. But yeah, apparently there's like a big robe culture somewhere.
Talking to Miles Sims. Miles, isn't Hinge the one where they have to hit you up first, the women, or do they change that? Or
no, that's Bumble, and they did change it. And okay. Yeah, I've tried to release myself from some of the shackles of these dating apps. I don't have Bumble anymore.
I had no idea this was one of your expertise. We're gonna okay.
Unfortunately, it really is.
Tuesday's dating apps. This is good material. I don't know anything about it, but it's good material. Maybe I don't know anything about the NFL, and I you know, like last week. I reacted like a lot of, you know, old D-bags do, and I saw the money for Trevor Lawrence, and I flipped out. I'm like, it's not worth it. He's, like, what is he, the 12th best quarterback? Can he ever be top eight? But then I went home, and I'm like, I don't know, does the salary cap not mean anything anymore? And it's just, what do you think of that deal?
You know, it was something I wasn't paying that much attention to because I was on vacation. But then, yeah, once I got back, it was like, oh, that's kind of more money than I would think.
55 mil a year with 200 million guaranteed?
Right. You know, and it's not like he got more money than Jared Goff. But would most of us consider Jared Goff to be a better quarterback than Trevor Lawrence? I think so, at least based on what they've been doing in their respective offenses in the last couple of years. I mean, I understand why the Jaguars did it, though. I mean, first of all, the quarterback market's only going to continue to go up. You're paying him for what you believe he's going to do. And there is reason to believe he can be, you know, in the upper echelon of quarterbacks with Doug Peterson as his head coach. Doug Peterson has a good reputation for being able to work with guys. So I get it. But I think that Trevor Lawrence still needs to show more, right? He still needs to step up. There's more that he needs to do. I mean, the signature win of his career is one – I would call it the game that they beat the Chargers in, right, last year in the playoffs. And he still threw, you know, multiple interceptions in that game. He was awful for most of the first half of that game. So this is a guy that was disappointing last year down the stretch, too. I mean, they lost a lot of their games. He couldn't beat the Titans when they had to beat the Titans in Week 18. So there's more out there for Trevor Lawrence. But I think this is kind of the same conversation we had, I don't know, what, like – 6, 7, 10 years ago, whenever it was, when Matthew Stafford became the highest paid quarterback in the league, right? It's like, is this guy worth it when we haven't seen him do the things that we've seen guys like Patrick Mahomes do, like Joe Burrow, like Josh Allen, those other guys that are at the top of the quarterback market? It's the same thing we're going to be talking about once Tua Tagovailoa gets his deal, whenever that is.
How pissed are other teams right now seeing this? Because, I mean, you know, specifically the 49ers, they have to pay Purdy eventually. What are they looking at this like?
Well, I mean, look, they should be thanking their lucky stars that they have Brock Purdy on the contract that they have him on, because that's created so much flexibility for them in the last couple of years. I mean, they can't pay Brock Purdy more than just over $900,000 this season. Right, that is ridiculous for somebody who has been as good as Brock Purdy has and has led his team to the NFC Championship game and the Super Bowl in the last 2 years. Right, that's a completely under market value for what he is. So that's where they need to just say, all right, well, whatever we pay Brock Purdy next is in part going to be for what he's done over the last couple of years. I think it's more Tua Tagovailoa and the Miami Dolphins that are like, man, well, if they're paying Trevor Lawrence that, like, we obviously have to exceed this now. And Tagovailoa, before they broke camp and he talked to the media, I thought it was really interesting what he was saying, basically that, you know, he wants to get this deal done and two sides have to do it. And his tone was of a player that was a little bit upset and a little bit frustrated. And he said he wasn't frustrated, but I mean, you watch it, you see his body language, you hear his voice. He's a guy that sounds frustrated, and I understand it. So now that this has happened with Lawrence, the price of the brick ostensibly went up for Tagovailoa too. And I don't know how the Dolphins are going to solve that other than just paying him.
You excited about NFL Hard Knocks doing an entire division this year instead of, you know, on one team?
No. I mean, I maybe I shouldn't say it, but, like, I don't know. Hard Knocks, like, it's cool in some ways, you know, because it's football, and I love football, and I enjoy watching some aspects of it. And, you know, you get behind the scenes, you get the players mic'd up, all that stuff's really cool. But we get so much content, you know, Monday through Sunday, from the NFL on all kinds of different stuff. It's just like, do we really need to be in the inner workings of these things? You know, once it's December and like it's a I don't know. I need to be more enthusiastic about it. I'm not right now. If once we get to December and, you know, the Bengals are good, I'm sure the Ravens are still going to be good. The Browns should be good. Jameis Winston may be their quarterback by then. And the Steelers, who knows? Like, that should be an interesting show because it is one of the best divisions in football. But Hard Knocks.
Come on. Every year we got to fight you on this.
I know. I don't know why.
Don't be so smart. Just get that. Get down to, like, the basic football fan level, and just in, I mean, you know what it is, you're in the bubble, and you work around, you've worked around the organizations in the past. The rest of us, I mean, yeah. I cover it, and I actually do see it. I'm just an idiot with very low intelligence, so just we start grunting, and everyone's yelling at each other, and I get into it.
You know, one of my favorite scenes from Hard Knocks was years and years ago when the Rams were on it in 2016, and their defensive line coach, Mike Waffle, who was very enthusiastic guy, gruff guy, you know. Yeah. But they were – and maybe this was in actually that All or Nothing show. I don't remember. But he was, like, in a practice situation, and he goes, "Knock them the bleep back! Bunch of quarterbacks on the bleeping ground. Go celebrate that bleep, bleep, bleep you." Like, whoa! Like, that. I enjoy that kind of stuff where, yeah, like, the coaches are mic'd up and they're just, like, yelling and cursing and blah, like, you know, and you can't show it on regular television.
Miles Simmons, Pro Football Talk, is with us. Miles A. Simmons up on Twitter. I would like to think that Florio operates that way, but I don't think you can in a real office situation or, you know, real business situation with the coaches talk and all that. I'll tell you what Florio does like, as I have no segue here, but I just thought of it.
Sure.
Boy, he loves writing about these freaking legal battles, and I'm glad he's here.
Well, he's a lawyer. Yeah.
Well, we talked about it yesterday, yeah, with our insider, Justin Watkins. We posted a video, so go check that out up on Twitter at ESPN Las Vegas. I know, Salerno, you said no one's covering it. There are people covering it. This Sunday ticket thing, listen, I don't know if we win out of this, the football fan, but it is very intriguing any time the powers that be around the NFL are called into court and have to tell the truth.
It certainly is. And, I mean, you know, I think it's interesting. And, you know, to be quite honest with you, Steve, like, I've been out of the country. I've been on, you know, at a music festival, and I have not followed it very closely. So this is, you know, maybe too much disclosure. So I don't necessarily know all that much about what the hell is going on with it. So I will say this. I saw Roger Goodell called Sunday Ticket a quote-unquote premium product, and so that's why they want to charge so much for it. That's why they don't want to necessarily have a lot of different selections or choices, I want to say, in order to be able to get it, right? So that's one thing about it. And I think it's interesting because, really, was it a premium product before it went to YouTube TV? I mean, the last few years that thing was on DirecTV, mm-hmm, and maybe it's different for satellite customers, but, you know, when you were trying to stream it, it was a terrible product. It wasn't very good. There were problems pretty much every single week, yep, of every single season. And so I'm somebody who relies on it for work, and so it is very problematic for me when that thing does not work and function properly. So when you say that it's a premium product, well, it needs to function like a premium product. And that may be something that hurts the NFL in their case.
I don't understand it, though, because you would think they'd make more money if it was, you know, if more people could have access to it and it's less, and it costs less.
Well, the argument would be what they're battling here is, why can't you just buy your team for a lesser price? Yeah. But right, they don't want to do that. I saw Jerry Jones made a smart remark, and it's true. How the Cowboys, he could do this and make so much more money because people would buy the Cowboys, you know, say, versus, like, instead of the Bengals, right? The Bengals, right, don't have the same kind of fan base, but they kept the price high because they were trying to protect all their broadcast partners. But over the years, I feel like I've been kind of gouged, and it was anti-competition. I mean, in the end, that's what the suit is about, Miles, is you got a monopoly here, and people don't really have any other alternative for the product. Now, do we need the product? No, it's not life-saving.
No, it's not. I mean, I might say that it is.
Yeah, you do.
I don't know.
I mean, I think a lot of us do. We need that kind of – we think it's a fun pass and an outlet. Of course, it makes a lot of us miserable who root for lousy franchises.
Yeah, the Jets. Yeah, you know, you really want to pay premium price to see the Jets every week, year. And
I was going to say real quick, Florio kind of – was it Florio? Yeah, I saw Florio do an interview yesterday, and he didn't point it out specifically with the Jets. Like, but what is the package worth for Jets fans? They're on prime time 6 times.
Right. I mean, you can make that same – that was the thing I thought about, too, with the Cowboys. You can make that same argument, you know. Or Chiefs fans now, I mean, that they've got the best quarterback in the league, right, with Patrick Mahomes, and they've won the last 2 Super Bowls. They're playing every day this week, but – excuse me. They play this year every day of the week but Tuesday, right? So when you have something like that, you're going to be in a situation where everybody's eyeballs are going to be on you. So it – would make more sense to have the Panthers, you know, on there, because I'm sorry, but unless you're a Panthers fan, nobody wants to see that team, right? You know, same in some ways with the Cardinals right now. Like, there are different teams around the league that are a more premium product because they're better. And so, yeah, that in a lot of ways you are protecting the interests of the other teams if you keep the price high, because what would the subscriber base be for, like, the Titans across the country? I don't know that it would be that high.
But with fantasy football and gambling and all that stuff, I mean, does that really matter? Because a guy who has, $100 on the Panthers is going to want to watch the game no matter what, even if they suck.
Yeah, but that's – but don't you change that week to week?
Yeah, I guess you're right.
So then that's just the argument for, yeah, well, we should just keep it so that you can see all the games and not team specific.
While on vacation, let's come full circle. In France, did you effort the NBA Finals at all? I mean, it's very late night, obviously, actually morning there.
I didn't. You know, the Look only – I know. I was at Bonnaroo last week. So the only bit of action that I saw of the NBA Finals was last night in the second half. I turned on my TV after I got home from the airport about right when – Pritchard hit that three at the end of the half. Like, it was literally the first thing I saw. I'm like, good Lord, this must be a microcosm of the entire series right now. And I texted my buddy who's from Dallas, and he's a big Mavs fan, and he's like, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much all you had to see. And I'm like, okay. So I'm sad that basketball is over, but it appears I really did not miss much because, like many people and like the show Winning Time, F Boston.
Yes, we played that clip earlier. That made for some good audio in the middle of the show.
How do you play that on the radio?
Heavily edited.
Okay.
Lots of beeping. Sure. Best music you saw performed, not style, but best group, best solo at Bonnaroo.
Kroongen was terrific. They were awesome. Red Hot Chili Peppers always delivers. It's like New
really?
York pizza, you know? Oh, I love the Chili Peppers. This is my 7th time seeing them and like 5th time in the last, 2-3 years.
Okay.
Since John Frusciante's been back in the band. The thing I didn't like about the Chili Peppers was their set list. They played too much of the new stuff. Like, give me the, Californication, the Stadium Arcadium. Back it up to Blood Sugar Sex Magik a little bit, you know. I wish they would play Higher Ground. I haven't played it since Frusciante's been back in the band. I wish they would just do that. That would have been a fun thing to hear, but, it is what it is. Also, Bad, Bad, Not Good and Parcels. So those were my 3 or 4, I guess, favorites from the weekend.
Okay. No Carly Rae Jepsen on top of the list? Did she play?
I did not actually go to Carly Rae Jepsen.
She's good.
No. Yeah. Maggie Rogers I saw a little bit of because she was between Post Malone and then Thunder. No, Kroongen and Post Malone. So I had to run over from Kroongen. See a little bit of Maggie Rogers, because I've seen Maggie Rogers before. I got tickets to see her again at the Forum later this year. Really excited about that. She was great. And then darted back over to see Post Malone. So, yeah, fun time. Really hot, though, man. And living in Southern California, you're not on the coast. I'm not used to that anymore. And sleeping in a tent, man, I don't know. I'm over 30. Like, I don't know that I really want to do that again, but.
Speaking of sleeping in tents, did you happen to run into Aaron Rodgers while you're in your travels? Because Steve's wondering where his quarterback is right now.
I'm really not, actually.
You're not?
I saw someone last week suggest that a British paper suggested that he was out of the country doing ayahuasca again. I'm like, can we stop with this nonsense? Just show up in August. Let's go.
That's Florio's theory, too, that he was off on some ayahuasca retreat, which I was not at. I don't know that I would do that either. So I did not see him, but he might be somewhere. He's got to be somewhere, right?
Miles, we're glad you're back. I can't do Aaron Rodgers talk. Like you, I lose patience very quickly. I know you have a lot of stuff on the show that you've basically banned, and we still pelt you with it. Thank you so much.
All right, gentlemen, to be good.
Take care. Saw Bonnaroo that I don't know if she actually performed or not, but on the list I'm looking at that Megan Thee Stallion was there. And then I saw a video this weekend, probably on TikTok, of I think it was Paul Wall came up.
Hmm.
And I was fixated on Megan Thee Stallion.
On a, in a good way? Or
she's powerful. I don't know what that means. But every time I see her, I'm like, wow.
Do you mean powerful like dancing body powerful or like just takes over your emotions?
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, let's continue our season preview of UNLV football. Yeah. What? Football, yeah. 75 days, a little under 75 days until the kickoff. UNLV will be in H-Town at Houston, Big 12 team. Camp opens up August 1st. You can get your tickets for the games at the Al, UNLVtickets.com. Michael Scherer is the defensive coordinator. He joins Steve Cofield and Greg Salerno here. How are you, Coach?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
We're good, man. I'm really fired up to see what you guys have put together. Some roster turnover, which we'll get into in a couple of minutes. But, you know, I was telling my partner as we were sitting in break getting ready to talk to you, I'm like, you know what? I don't know what Coach Scherer does with his free time. I feel like you're all football. Like, with it, you must have had a couple of weeks where you did something that, like, you like to do. What'd you do with your off time?
I'm all football. You're about right. I enjoy an escape to Cabo every now and again.
Oh, okay. All right.
I have tried my hardest to, like, pick up the game of golf, but that's like you golf once every 3 months in my life. So that really hasn't worked out. And I don't see it working out in the near future. So, you know, if I'm escaped out to Mexico, you know, I'm away. If I'm not, it's probably football.
In Cabo, are you like water sports guy? Are you riding a horse on the beach? What are you doing for adventure?
No, it's a whole lot of nothing. Sit out, look at the water, yeah. Eat good food. Enjoy the pool, enjoy the weather, enjoy everything. You know, we have a few times taken a boat out on the water. You can whale watch out there in Cabo if you go the right time of year.
Yeah.
All right. You know, if you go in January time, you can go out and watch the whales in the water. So, you know, it's a time to relax, and a lot of time the phone doesn't work out there, so it forces. I need to be forced to get away.
I get it. your guy Odom. The bull riding? What do we think?
Oh, man. I tell you what. He's crazy.
He is crazy.
That's first off. I can tell. I'm glad you learn. You see things and you learn. Mm-hmm. I'll never ride a bull, no matter what the price, the cost. I've seen it live and in person, and I'm good on that. So that's my review of his bull ride. I think it was, I just was hoping he got up, you know, and he did get up, looked a little woozy, but, he was all right afterwards. I saw him.
Yeah. I was going to say only a former linebacker like him and yourself, he basically got headbutted by a bull and he was like, let me shake it off. Okay. Like that was, he got freaking knocked.
That, and you know, the ground's not very soft, you know, and he hit, you know, it was almost like he was in the splits down there on the ground. So I'm sure that felt good too.
All right, let's talk about last season before we set up this season. So you did some media during the spring, and I got to tell you, I don't know if blown away is the right term, but I thought your intensity and Odom's intensity about the way last season ended, like we all watched that season and we're like, hey, 9 wins, that was really good. You come into the media room and you're like, that defense at the end of the year was not good enough. We have to be better. I'm like, okay, I guess they're going to be super focused, and next year's goals are already in line.
Yeah, you know, I had it was the way last year ended. It was tough, and you know, I think we played on December. Was it the 28th? It was close to New Year's. It was the 28th or the 29th. So I went back to where my fiance lives in Dallas, Texas, where she's from, and I couldn't sit still, and I was in a bad mood, and all I wanted to do was think of ways to fix problems, how we could. So I'm pretty sure on the 31st, at probably like 7 o'clock p.m., I just flew home to Vegas and sat there at home just thinking of, you know, how can we get better than what is going, but how we ended. And so, yeah, it was hard for me to really think of much else after, you know, those last couple of games. And, you know, that it drives you to want to get better, that's for sure. And just I'm thankful that my fiance still wants to get married here in a couple of weeks because they were looking at me like, you're crazy. It's New Year's. What are you doing? I can't, you know. So that's how that was, and that's where some of that motivation came from. But, you know, we're still on that path, and I think we got to assemble some key pieces in the offseason to really help us get where we need to go.
Talking to UNLV defensive coordinator Michael Shear, obviously on defense, and you're a linebacker, so a lot of times front seven, you know. Talk about the back end, the cornerbacks, safeties, all that stuff. How important is that to the defense you like to run?
I mean, it's extremely important. You know, a lot of the game, you know, when you break it down, if you don't give up long plays down the field, you have a really good chance to play good defense. You know, you're forcing the team to gradually work the ball all the way down the field. And, you know, they got to be perfect and do that. But if you give them big, huge chunk yards, then you know, that holds out the window. So, you know, when we look back at last year, we had a lot of interceptions. But we also gave up way, way, way too many deep shots down the field. And, you know, some of that could have been how we were playing certain things just from a schematics, and some of it could have been technique from players. But that's all something, you know, that we've put a huge focus on this offseason, whether it's, you know, in both of those areas, whether it's the scheme, whether it's the technique, or whether it's, you know, getting some new bodies in the building, just, you know, shore up some depth and give us some more options. You know, that was a huge part of what we did this offseason. And especially now going into the summer where you have a lot of those guys been here for, you know, a whole semester. I'm really happy with where those guys are at and how they've blended with the team. And, you know, it's been great.
I'm just going to throw names out there. You know them, and we'll fill in the audience on these names. But you added a bunch of guys on the back end, and Catalan and Grimes and Chavis and Vessel and Bishop. What do you think so far? What you saw in spring and what you're seeing in workouts? Did you get what you wanted out of the portal in terms of taking that next step on the back end?
Yeah, I mean, I think we did. You know, obviously only time will tell. But if you go back, you know, obviously we came from Arkansas. There's no change in history. And, you know, three of those guys you mentioned, Catalan, Chavis, and Bishop, in 2021 were, you know, starting against Alabama. And we were putting up a heck of a fight versus Alabama in 2021 on the road at Alabama. And they were helping us in that game to a huge level. And as you know, like that year, you know, Catalan's a All-American, making plays all over. One of the, you know, a very, very, very important piece to that team that went 9-4 in the SEC and also played pretty good defense. So, you know, just having that experience and that knowledge and that talent and really confidence kind of gives the rest of the group a whole lot of confidence also. And then you talk about Tony Grimes, who, you know, if I were to go in a lab and want to create a corner, I would create Tony Grimes. And you know, he's played places, had success. And now, you know, he's got 1 year to really show everybody, you know, that he's still who he is. And so you see those things when you get a group of talented guys like that around each other. They just, you know, rising tide rises all ships, right? So it has helped everyone. And now you're also adding that into a room where you still have a guy like John O'Baldwin, who's been really good here for the past 3 years and will continue to be good. So, you know, when you bring in guys like that and everybody's focused on kind of one thing, it helps the entire group.
UNLVtickets.com. Get your UNLV football tickets now. They are on sale. Two Friday spots. Hell, now homecoming is going to be Boise, so looking for revenge in that one. We're talking to the defensive coordinator for UNLV football, Michael Shear. You know, you told me, it was kind of off the record, on the record, in previewing Jackson Woodard coming over to the program last year about how much you liked him, and maybe he got squeezed out because of scholarship players. He was a walk-on. Was he even better than you thought he'd be? Or do you still look at him as a guy you still got to mold and he can reach another level?
Was he better than I thought he would be? Probably. You know, I thought he'd be pretty good.
Yeah.
I had seen it. I had seen the work he put in. And, you know, when you got a guy from the time he's a freshman, he walks in the building, and you get 3 years, and you can kind of see the arc he's on over those years and kind of see where he's headed. I'd like to think that, you know, we could see some of that, and I had a whole lot of faith in him. But there's a whole other aspect that he brings of leadership, of giving everybody else a calm presence, a confidence, that, you know, was probably something that I didn't necessarily could see. But, you know, we needed him out there on our defense, and, you know, he obviously performed extremely well. And now what's good now is we're in the offseason. We got new guys, new everything. Some of them are old. A lot of these guys know the plays, know the playbook. They've been familiar with it. So, you know, they're able to go out and kind of, you know, Jackson Woodard could go run a linebacker meeting right now and teach everybody the defense to a degree if he wanted to. And that happens. You know, it's him and the freshmen are in there almost every day, and he's teaching them stuff before I even get to them whenever we have our schedule time. So there's things like that that are immeasurable that he brings to the entire team along with his talents. And I do expect him to get better and better. I think, you know, last year was the first time where he was out there and it was his ability. He had the ability and the opportunity to make, like, almost every play. And he made a lot of plays. And now it's getting him to understand that, hey, you don't need to make every play. We got guys, but, you know, also play the game the right way and do your thing. So there's a lot to it, but he can definitely get better, and he will get better, and he has get better. He's bigger. He's stronger. He's faster. So I expect even more out of him.
Coach, speaking of big plays, and you probably don't have any power over this whatsoever, but how can we get the Rebel Roller back in the end zone, man? That was the coolest thing I remember in college sports. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I know you go do, Coach, but if you're listening, you don't know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about. I know you're talking about the slot machine.
Yes. Yes. It's just unbelievable. How do we get that back? I'll start a petition if I have to.
Well, I don't know how we get it back. Well, we don't get it back. There's something that
the answer is it's not happening.
They don't like to mix college athletes and gambling, I heard.
Yeah, I get it.
So that would be number one. The other thing is that there's day after day. You know, we have a lot of talented kids, so it's awesome. We preach to them that they got to celebrate together. And so, unfortunately, only one person can sit at the slot machine. So we got to find something that everybody can do together.
Last one. As you look across, you know, as your defense is practicing and working against this offense, there's a lot of new players on the offense. I'm gonna take Ricky White out as an option. As a defensive coach, who's the guy when you look across at the UNLV offense, you're like, God, he's good. He is tough to cover. Who's the, and I know you want to name like 12 guys, but who's the guy who is the most challenging for your defense to try to stop?
You know, it's probably DeJesus.
Yeah.
You know, as we've seen, he can line up in every position on the offense, minus the offensive line. That would be a sight to see.
Sure.
But you know, he's chasing around a little, chasing around a. I don't even know. I want to call him a gnat, but he's probably quicker than a gnat. So you know, that's always tough. And you know, we got a couple running backs that are really good. I think. You know, Jet Thomas, obviously, is a freshman last year. They're really, really good.
Yep.
And I think this freshman we got from in town here, Greg Burrell, I think he got the ball in his hands. He's special. So, you know, I think those are some guys. We got a lot, but those are definitely some guys.
Coach, I was going to say enjoy time off. There's no time off. It's all over. June, you got to recruit. You're getting ready for the season. We appreciate a couple minutes.
That's
we'll see you out there sooner than later, okay?
All right, sounds good. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Coach.
There he is. Michael Scherer, real football guy, and we'll see what they do. I think your defense could have more talent. As he said, he kind of snuck it in there. A lot of the guys they brought in know the terminology and know this defense better, and that's part of the growth when you come in and you're installing a new defense communication.
Yeah.
Last year kind of broke down. So, and don't forget, They play in a good conference. The schedule was kind of backloaded. Obviously, they finished the season in a bowl game against Kansas. You know, other coaches can coach up their guys. They can figure out what you're doing. They can pinpoint weaknesses. And UNLV was a really good takeaway defense. But then two of their safeties got hurt.
Right.
And were out for a while. And Jare Williams and Jonathan Baldwin. Baldwin's still here. He mentioned him. I think when Jare Williams came back, he wasn't 100%. And sometimes the scheme wasn't connecting. And I sat there on the sidelines against Kansas. And Kansas hit deep shot after deep shot after deep shot. And when you watch, it's intriguing on the sidelines. When you watch a defense that's kind of struggling and how everyone reacts. And like no one was freaking out, but you could see they were losing their confidence.
Yeah.
So
guys start pointing at each other and stuff.
There was a little bit of yelling.
Well, not pointing at each other, mad.
I'll say one of the people who's not there anymore, and I like both Ricky Johnson and Jare Williams a lot, but there was every once in a while there'd be hills and valleys, and so it'd get a little bit heated. That doesn't shock me. I will say most of the year, almost none of that, and that's a good sign. Like, you know, when you see defenses that aren't communicating and struggling, and then they start finger pointing, they're dead in the water.
Well, I think a lot of times it's they had some miscommunication and they're pointing to tell them where they should have been. You know what I mean? Like, hey, that was you, you know, or this or that.
And Greg, that's what it was.
Yeah.
Like in that game, and it also happened in the Boise game. You come to the sidelines, you know, players come to the sidelines and they're like, bro, just talk. Like, you're supposed to be. And then I think it even got more exacerbated in the bowl game because they did this experimental thing with the tablets like the NFL had. College football doesn't have that. They're going to. So now you've got to sit there and they're like, here's the tablet. What are you doing? Like, this, you know, this is the pre-snap read. This was, you're supposed to change it. It's like.
Yeah.
So there was a little discord, a little miscommunication. Some guys decided that they could land elsewhere. By the way, Jare Williams landed at Washington State, and Ricky Johnson's at Michigan. So I think it's one of the stories that's probably been under-publicized, that they had two guys that I think they were ready to kind of move on from, and they landed at Washington State and Michigan. 5 years ago when guys transferred, and maybe they were getting a little nudge, like, hey, go somewhere else, they weren't landing at Michigan and Washington State.
Like JUCO.
Sometimes they wouldn't find a home.
Right, yeah.
You know? So that kind of illustrates that they've upgraded in talent overall. I'm not saying that the guys they brought in are like Michigan level, but they do have a lot of experience.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm glad at the end there, he mentioned the offensive players to watch for. They're doing all these All-American lists.
Yeah.
And Ricky White's on all of them because he had like 1,480 yards and was a monster. He's a wide receiver. De Jesus made it as a return man. So he's like first team, like, in college football.
Yeah.
First team return man. Well, if people go back to the bowl game, they got really thin at running back. Jet Thomas had a neck injury kind of, you know, last week before the game. They're like, hey, you know what? Let's try Jacob De Jesus there. He's 5'5", 175. He's intriguing.
Yeah.
Like when you get a guy that little, if you want to go back, like Darren Sproles.
Yeah, I was going to say it. That's every team has a guy
him.
Like that now, though.
Like, he's behind the line.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, okay, where is he?
They have their hand on the back of the guy in front of them. Yes. And you can't even see him until
all of a sudden, boom.
Yeah.
And the other exciting name there is Greg Burrell is a local. He's a true freshman. And they have a pretty good running back room. He's from Desert Pines.
Yeah.
And he showed out in the spring game. I think that's cool. I think it's something, and I know the bosses at UNLV always wanted this. Got to connect with the high schools, and to build a program, you got to start building with at least some local recruits because then that builds on itself. So if Greg Burrell comes in and he's really good,
right,
that's going to show other kids in the area. Like, he could have gone a lot of places. He's at UNLV. He's playing. He's not buried for 3 years. Maybe I want to do the same thing.
I'm excited. It is the first time in 20-something years that I've been here that I'm actually looking forward, you know, like really looking forward to the season for the Rebels. So.
Good schedule. It's going to be tougher. A lot of tough road spots, so I don't know if they get to 9 wins. I think they're going to be a much better football team. And now the next question is, in the fall camp, they got to go real fast to get to August 31st and have a better idea of who their starting quarterback is going to be. They have a transfer in who played in the spring from Campbell, Haj Malik Williams, who's a dual threat, and they have another dual threat in from Holy Cross, Matthew Sluka, who rushed for about 2,500 yards the last 2 years. So a lot of the stuff, like Maiava was really good, their quarterback.
Yeah.
But he really wasn't a true runner. Now they can run stuff to the edges, which I think is the scariest offense of all college football. When, as a defender, where you're like, okay, is he just going to stop and throw, and then all of a sudden, because someone played the run, now he's got an option up top or over the middle, or he can turn the corner and go.
Well, even in the NFL, they do the same thing. Anytime you have a dual-threat quarterback, it makes the running game so much better.
Cofield and Company present Grab Bag on ESPN Las Vegas.
Stick your hand in there, dude.
Oh, Salerno. That's how he feels. He's gutting it out. Greg Salerno, nice job on Cofield and Company today. What do you do tonight? You get whacked? You get drunk? Well, you got pain pills? What do you do? Your neck is killing you.
I know, man. I don't know. I'm going to have to. I took some ibuprofen, which I thought might help, but it didn't really do anything at all. So I don't know. Maybe heroin or something. I don't know. We'll see. No, I'm kidding. I don't know, man. I don't have anything.
Are you? So. I didn't deliver on – I hate doing this because I do this all the time. Tease ahead in the show.
Yeah.
I never delivered on this weed tease at like 3:06, so we'll get to it now. I'm sure the same audience is around. From the Daily Mail, experts warn of surge in seniors hooked on weed. Okay, first of all let's have fun with it. When they sent this out, they had a picture of Willie Nelson blowing smoke into the air. I'm like, good!
Yeah.
He's like 95, isn't he?
I always
he's happy
say that
as
too.
A clam. Everyone get hooked.
I always say that too, man. If I'm old, I get mad when I see people not speeding. Like, if a guy's going 50 on the highway and he's old, not because he's in my way. Like, dude, you're old. Like, you know, how much time do you have? You might not make it to pass the Russell exit to Tropicana. Like, why are you going 50 miles an hour, dude? Live your life, you know? I'd be doing all kinds of drugs and stuff if I was 90 years old. Like, who cares? I don't understand that at all.
I love them attaching it to a picture of Willie Nelson, who seems really happy. And then, not to get too hardcore, hooked is not even the correct word. Hooked?
I don't know. I go back
has,
and forth.
Has it been a gateway for you to very hard drugs and tough times in your life?
Not a gateway, but...
Do we want to write a song together about this?
Not a gateway at all, but I do notice, like, when I used to smoke weed a lot, okay, I'm just being honest, and then when I didn't for a few days, I would get kind of sick. Like,
really?
There definitely was a physical thing to it.
I stand corrected.
But...
Don't get hooked.
But the thing is... When I was younger, it was a totally, you know, you're probably remembering, I don't know if you've ever smoked weed before, but you're probably remembering a very different weed than what they have now. Like, the weed they have now is like they grow it on Mars. I don't know where they get it from, but it's insane. So I could see maybe getting hooked to that more than the old shoebox shaking the seeds out weed, you know.
Get in the bag.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
Will you watch any TV tonight?
Yeah. I mean,
you and I have to keep a constant... log of what we're watching. I try to do it every week just to check in on myself and everyone else.
Sure.
My current log is I get the name wrong all the time. House of Dragons, whatever it is for Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I haven't seen that yet.
Oh, that's right, you haven't watched.
No, I haven't.
The Boys came back on.
So good.
Chef's kiss. Especially people are getting angry because I don't think they realize what the show was until now.
Yeah,
dumbasses. I do watch multiple cooking shows. Chow House is very cutthroat. Very cutthroat. If you're a jerk, you get eliminated eventually. Your cooking ability doesn't matter. So there's a lot of cattiness on the show. Clipped is just Donald Sterling is just, it's just amazing.
Casting is great.
I got back into Below Deck.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, it's a whole yachting show. It's basically about the crew below deck that's serving. So it's basically like a restaurant behind the scenes at a restaurant, but with, you know, super rich people on it.
Wait, they have that?
Oh yeah. Yeah, you can charter a yacht for whatever it is. I don't know.
And there's like a whole restaurant under it?
No, there's a whole crew. There is a full service kitchen.
That's what I mean.
They're serving for like 12 people who are on the yacht.
Oh, wow.
But it's all the inner workings of the yacht. And then they go out and party and doink sometimes. And there's drama. And
I got to get out more.
Yeah, you got to watch this. So, but I got to get on the Star Wars deal. Didn't we talk about this last week?
Yeah.
Acolyte, I still have not watched. And I got to watch The Brats, which is about the Brat Pack in the 80s.
Oh, The Breakfast Club?
Yep.
Wow, that's interesting.
There's a lot of good stuff on right now.
Have you seen The Bear, that chef show?
I love it.
Really?
I love it so much.
That guy drives me crazy.
Why?
He's trying to be like a tough guy sex symbol. He looks like the dude that played Willy Wonka.
I mean, he's fit, and I think he's doing whatever he needs to be fit.
I just think he's miscast. Like, he should be like
really?
He should be the goofy, funny guy, not the tough, mean guy.
That's a weird thing
to get
so worked
up. I would
just laugh
at that guy.
Like, he wasn't cast well. Okay. I don't know. Maybe
I'll
have to go
back and character to me is not doesn't fit what he looks like.
Watch The Boys. Did you watch it?
I did watch it. It's great.
That's pretty damn good. It's magical.
Amazing.
Like I said last week, Homelander. Hero or villain? I mean, left who up knows? To interpretation. That's why it's a great show. All right, we'll see you.